Fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Oh, yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Friday, greatest day of the entire week. Man, you made it. Pat yourself on the back. You scream ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. Or we scream for freedom, or we scream for something. I don't know, but we scream. Joe Biden was screaming last night, man. He was all kinds of fired up. Hey, lower the dose of the steroids. He was just going a little too crazy last night. I was yelling. Everybody was yelling. And it wasn't a happy yell like we do on a Friday for the end of the week. It was a yelling of, he's angry, I'm angry, we're all angry. Let's be angry together, because why the hell not? Welcome into the show. It is The Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier. So great to have you along for the ride. We have more audio than I know what to do with today, so I doubt we're going to get to it all, but we will do our darndest. I also have the 3.5-minute audio from Donald Trump on his social media known as Social, or Truth Social, where he was doing live coverage of the State of the Union last night, and then his response afterwards, and it's about 3.5 minutes. I want to play all of it because it's kind of entertaining, but 3.5 minutes of audio is a very long time for radio, so I don't know if we'll play all of that or not as we move through the broadcast. Maybe we'll play it up in bits, little by little. Little by little, we'll go through some of this. Interesting stuff. MK Sweeney, Mandy, she'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. She is known as America's Mom. She is author of the book The Magi of Merriam. We'll talk with her about woke businesses. Have businesses learned their lessons about being woke, going down the road of ESG in society? Apparently not in the market. And even though we saw what Bud Light, the kind of hit that they took when they lost near $1 billion of revenue for Bud Light with Anheuser-Busch because of the decision they made, apparently we're still wanting to go down that road with some business. So we'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. The yelling to last night, and you know me, I'm all about yelling. I can get pumped up to some yelling. I can get some excitement. I mean, you know the kind of music that I listen to. I mean, that's my jam, baby. That's what I do. But there's a line between yelling because you're excited and yelling because you're angry. And Joe Biden came out right out of the gate. If you didn't listen to the State of the Union, he was feisty. And he was yelling, again, lower the dosage, because he just kind of went a little bit overboard. It was the whole hour, he was yelling. He had to stop and cough multiple times because he was yelling so much throughout this performance. And I don't know what that does. As the guy who's running for re-election, as the guy who's trying to be president for a second term, while you may be frustrated and you can be excited, you can be pumped up, this isn't a rally. This is the State of the Union address to Congress to tell what the state of the nation's in based on the executive branch's perspective. That's what this speech is supposed to be about. That's not the way it went down yesterday, as he tried to turn it into a rally, and he tried to be very angry when you're supposed to try and be unifying and talking about both sides of the aisle, and you're supposed to talk about the good things happening and what you'd like to see for the next year and what your proposals are going to be and what you'd like to call on Congress to act on. He didn't do any of that. It was just angry. Donald Trump's a threat to democracy, the same as Vladimir Putin with Russia, the same with the terrorists over in the Middle East, or with how he tried to link it to World War II and Hitler. Now, of course, they tried to go down this road again. It was madness to listen to. And it was just angering because everything he said was a flat-out, bold-faced lie. Not even like half-truths. It was just, we're going to make crap up and just say things. And then he did something I've never heard any other president do during a State of the Union. He called out and threatened, almost in a way, the Supreme Court of the United States. I know. Has anybody ever heard something like that before?
Say what?
Now, the Supreme Court is sitting right there front and center because they're another branch. For those that don't know, this is for the education for the other side of the aisle here. We have three branches of government. We have Congress, which was in the House chamber that invited the executive branch to be able to speak and talk about their personal opinion about the State of the Union. And then you have the judicial branch, that is the Supreme Court of the United States, that keeps everybody on track, supposedly, and tells what's legal and not legal, constitutional and not constitutional. And because they don't like some of the decisions of the Supreme Court, largely lately because of keeping Donald Trump on the ballot, they had to go down the road of abortion and other social issues and threatening the Supreme Court.
Many of you in this chamber
and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right about that.
You're about to see just how much little power you have on whatever he tried to missay because he didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Who does that, man? Who does that to an entire branch of our federal agency, our federal government, one of the few branches that's actually supposed to be there and actually make decisions? And just because you don't like them, I mean, between the abortion issue and the reversal of Roe v. Wade, between the Donald Trump decisions that they're making, the fact that they're taking the case on whether he's has presidential immunity for some of these lawsuits that are going on right now, the Democrats are livid to the point that we've heard them advocate for even the dissolving of the Supreme Court. Just get rid of it completely. Now, again, this is the party that's telling us that Donald Trump is the authoritarian. He's the dictator. He's not going to allow another election after this. He's going to execute all his political opponents. This is the party claiming that they are preserving democracy while advocating for the dissolving of one of our entire branches of the federal government, or stacking it by expanding it so that way they can always have control because they never want someone to make another decision that goes against their values. This is the state of America that we're in today. And you want to talk about the state of America and the state of the union, we're in shambles right now. And it's because of 3 years of reversal of the Trump administration's policies that Joe Biden has done in a very short amount of time. It's wild. Now, obviously, immigration was one of the big issues where they talked about. And I you're not at a rally. You're at a State of the Union address. I don't know where the disconnect came from, because he was trying to egg them on. It was like he was trying to egg on protesters of the rally. I've never seen anything like this before.
In November, my team began serious negotiation with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing.
That's amazing. Well, egging them on, wanting the response. Now, normally when this happens, and obviously this has been more of a trend that we've seen in politics the last decade, the last few years, especially under Trump, a little bit under Barack Obama. If you remember Barack Obama, it was the first time where it was the shock at all, where someone yelled out, "You're wrong." And it was because he was wrong and he was blatantly lying. I mean, he just flat out lied to us across the board, and someone just said, "You're wrong." That was a shock at all. Now it's a normal thing. Oh, how the times have changed from the Barack Obama Bush era to now, when it's normal to boo and to heckle the president. But he wanted it. He wanted it. It's like a rally that he's trying here, as opposed to being professional, being presidential, and just going about his time and doing his thing. No, and he tried to tie it into, of course, well, you guys aren't passing it. It's the conservative bill, James Lankford, which, by the way, he didn't. If you watch the video of the speech last night, James Lankford was not happy during that speech. He was not happy. He wanted that bill. He worked really hard on it. We've had James Lankford on this program. He's a great senator. He's a great conservative. And I like a lot of his policy from the state of Oklahoma. But he was not happy with the failure of this bill and was not happy with the way the Republicans handled that one. So he was stone cold faced on that statement. But Joe Biden egging and heckling onto this because he wanted that response. The green light, the bright side of all of this that was entertaining to watch was Mike Johnson behind the scenes. If you watched him behind being the Speaker of the House and actually shaking his head, rolling his eyes a little bit, that to me kept the little bit of sanity that I had. Now, little voice of reason, she's 9. She had a friend over last night. We had a sleepover. And while I was angry yelling at the TV, Mrs. Voice of Reason was whispering to me, "Andy, you can't do that. Her parents might be Democrats. We don't know where they stand on issues." And I'm like, "I don't care," because I was so angry. I was just angry. But watching Mike Johnson kept me somewhat civil without, you know, doing like the whole people who lose the Super Bowl and break my TV, which I would never do. I would maybe throw some newspaper at it or something. But yeah, she warned me, got to be calm, because Mike Johnson is what kept my civility last night.
James had a better poker face than I did. Look,
by the way, this was Mike Johnson on Fox News earlier today to recap this, talking about the immigration bill and how James Lankford handled the situation properly.
James had a better poker face than I did. Look, that bill did not solve the problem, and everybody knows it. We passed H.R. 2, our now famous bill, you know, 10 months ago, and it had five separate important provisions, and they all work together. You have to fix the asylum problem, the broken parole system. You got to reinstate Remain in Mexico, and you have to end catch and release. That's right. What's putting all these, you know, dangerous people out into our communities, and then rebuild the wall, continue building the wall. That bill didn't do it, and that's why it never passed the Senate. They never actually sent it to the House because they couldn't get it through the Senate either, and everybody recognized that. They should have had our House members in the negotiation from the very beginning on that, and I said that.
And maybe could have gotten there.
We could have gotten there.
So.
And again, we've said it before, I'm so glad that Mike Johnson, the Republicans and the House of Representatives had stuck to their ground and stuck to what they want, which is saying, no, we're going to stick with H.R. 2, either pass this style of bill or else we're not going to go anywhere, because we're in the state of devastation now. It's not we need to slowly start turning the wagon. It's we need to stop it dead in its tracks right now, right here. And while that may be drastic, and that's not the way that Washington, D.C. normally operates, that's kind of what we have to do now because we're in that dire state. We have 10 million illegal migrants coming across the border since the Biden administration, with more coming on as well. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. Donald Trump, I'm not going to play all this, number one, because we don't have a lot of time, but Donald Trump did respond last night to all of this. And that was probably the most entertaining part of all of it. The Republican that did do the GOP response to the State of the Union, she did great, I thought. She did a great job. You could tell that the drama was... or the emotion, I guess, was a little bit forced. You could tell, but she was new. She was green, a little bit nervous. And I will give major kudos to the Republican Party on this, is the fact that unlike Democrats, the Republican Party is open to allowing new, fresh faces be the voice and be the leader within the Republican Party to stand firm and actually make statements like this, to give them experience, to grow our ranks, and to have more leaders within the ranks of the Republican Party, unlike what Democrats do. Which is why right now they're stuck with Joe Biden, because they don't have anybody else, because they never allowed anybody else to have that opportunity to form themselves and morph themselves into potential leadership, because they've cut everybody out because the deep state has wanted that power and to hold on to that grip tight power for so long that they haven't allowed anybody else to rise to that challenge. Republicans do that wonderfully, which is why our ranks are huge, our ranks are deep. And our ranks are strong because we allow others to actually have that opportunity. So I think she did a great job. She was a little rocky around the edges just because she was probably nervous. But Donald Trump also responded in a pretty entertaining way.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created. All the while, they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country. Joe Biden's sad excuse for a State of the Union address aside, here are the facts. When I left office, we gave Joe Biden the most secure border in U.S. history. We gave him Remain in Mexico, very tough to get, but I got it. Safe Third Agreements, the asylum ban, Title 42, 571 miles of border wall, rapid deportations, and much more. We had the safest border in the history of our country.
Yeah, that was Donald Trump last night on this immigration issue. Not allowing the Biden administration to try and change this narrative, saying if only the Republicans would pass a bill that I would have some type of authority to solve the issues, to lock down the border, and to stop innocent lives from being killed from illegal migrants. That narrative isn't working, and if anybody even have a half a brain, they can see where Democrats really stand on this issue.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
What's happened now is a horror show. The country, our country, is being laughed at all over the world. Over the past 3 years, Biden has actively aided and abetted the importation of millions and millions of illegal alien migrants and resettle them into your communities. At any time during the past 3 years, crooked Joe Biden, and he is crooked as you can be and the most incompetent president we've ever had, could have called off the invasion. But to this day, he is keeping the hordes of illegal migrants and illegal aliens pouring into the country. By the time his term is up, we could have close to 20 million people in our country.
That's Donald Trump with his part of his response to the State of the Union last night from President Joe Biden. He didn't hold back, and he went on, and it was even more brutal than that when it was kind of entertaining to watch for sure. His 3.5 minute clip, you can find it on Truth Social with his page there. Immigration seemed to be the focal point for much of the conversation last night, except for when it was, well, education, let's just give more money for education, and let's give free K through 12, and let's just give the student loan bailouts, and let's do this. And they tried to, of course, subsidize it by saying, well, it's going to boost the economy because then we have expendable cash. Okay, we have expendable cash, but yet our value of our dollar doesn't mean anything because we're just lumping it up with the debt that the nation has that we're increasing, by the way, $1 trillion every 100 days in the nation. So that's what, near $3 trillion over the next year that we're going to see as a national debt continue to grow. Why? Because soon we won't even be able to pay our interest on the debt because of how much it actually grows. That's insane. That's madness. And they didn't talk about any of that, of course. They talked about how we need to spend here and spend there and money for you and money for you and money for you. I don't think he won anybody over last night. It was angry. It was vicious. He tried to attack the other side by just saying my predecessor, and trying to go after him that way. But he didn't unite, which, again, the State of the Union is about just the State of the Union and what agenda you'd like to see. But if you're going to be Joe Biden, who, by the way, is going to be out probably for the next 2 weeks because you're recovering after being jacked up on so many steroids, and whatever they gave him to be yelling and ranting for an entire hour like that yesterday is honestly kind of impressive. That they need to market some of that stuff. But if that's the direction you're going to go, then that right there, that is probably going to be the campaign for Joe Biden. We're not going to see him much right now, especially for the next couple of weeks as he recovers. But they're going to use that speech as what to take him into the campaign trail. They're going to use audio from that for his messaging and for his advertising and for whatever else he does. They're just going to use that speech. Listening to the media last night, they loved it. Oh, they ate it up. It was strong. It was forceful. It was making a point. It was taking a stand. It was such a wonderful speech. It was uniting. And then, of course, they'd ask a Republican, even the moderate ones that would go on CNBC or MSNBC or CNN or CBS or all these others. And, hey, what'd you think? Well, it wasn't very uniting. He didn't do a good job of uniting because, well, he just yelled at the other side the whole time. Well, I don't know. Like, he didn't. He really made his statements on it. He was strong and he was forceful. Democrats are eating this up. They absolutely loved that speech last night. And it shows the division in the nation right now, because if that's good to you, is being angry, like not passionate. There's a difference between passion and anger. And you can sense that with people when they're really passionate and they get fired up. Okay, cool. But when they're just angry for the sake of being angry, it's off-putting. And it's surprising that that's good for Democrats. That's successful messaging for Democrats is being angry for the sake of being angry, because they're angry as well. Remember, this is the party that wakes up in the morning, yawns, and says, I am pissed off at the day, and I can't wait to find somebody to take my anger out on because the world sucks. That's the life that they live. They say we have to rehaul the entire world. We have to overhaul everything about society. We have to fundamentally change the United States of America because we don't like any of it. And like Michelle Obama said, which I thought was ironic when Joe Biden said it yesterday, you can't just love your country only when you win. I seem to remember a certain politician or a family of a politician that said, for the first time in my life, I'm happy to be an American. Why? Because our policies are actually working. Huh, that's interesting.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
It was all caused by crooked Joe Biden and the people that surround him. And they are radical left Marxists and fascists and communists and socialists. We have people running our country the likes of which we have never seen before. He and the communists and his party looted trillions of dollars from you and spent it on illegal aliens and the Green New Scam, triggering the highest inflation in many, many decades. If your packages are getting smaller, that's the reason why, under my leadership, there was no inflation. We had the greatest economy in the history of the world. It's time to tell crooked Joe Biden, you're fired.
There it is. That's Donald Trump's response last night from the State of the Union. That was it. That was kind of the best part of the whole thing. Well done. Well done.
You're fired.
Just that little bit of Trump humor in there, whether you like it or not, whether you like him or not. Interesting election as we go into 2024, especially after that State of the Union last night, where it was just a very angry Joe Biden. And I don't look, again, I enjoy my little bit angrier music when you get you pumped up. But I mean, that's not what we got from Joe Biden last night. Good guy. Let's get into what's trending. What do you say?
What's trending today?
So, as you said as well, was of course the rich need to pay their fair share. Those millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires that are all not paying any money. They're not paying any taxes at all, which we know of. Again, part of me yelling at the TV last night was the fact that all of that is just not true at all, as they pay the vast majority of federal income taxes across the nation. We can show the numbers over and over and over again. But the attack on businesses, the attack on corporations, the attack on the private sector, while he tries to say that he's a capitalist, obviously isn't true because he's not a capitalist at all whatsoever. And we see that with not just the tax issue, but with the implementation of certain policies against the private sector and industry, like ESG, and trying to scare corporations into following certain protocol like ESG or other things. As you know, when they go woke, when we always say go woke, go broke, Bud Light's a prime example of that. They lost $1 billion total in revenue from Bud Light when they tried to endorse just something stupid, endorse a trans individual on YouTube, and completely change the entire demographic of who was actually buying Bud Light and the narrative behind what it meant to sit there with a Bud Light. They didn't know their audience at all. And you can see how well that turned out for them. $1 billion loss for that Anheuser-Busch and for Bud Light specifically with that company because of what they did. You would think that would be a learning lesson for other businesses to go, huh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe that's not a good direction for me to go down. But yet it seems like others are still going down that road all over again. To talk about that and what's happening now, excited to have on the program, she is known as America's Mom, also author of the book The Magi of Miriam, The Boy Who Saved the Kingdom. Excited to have on the program MK Sweeney. MK, how are you today?
Andy, I'm great. Thanks for having me on your show, and happy Friday to you and your listeners.
Happy Friday to you. Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on. I really appreciate you jumping on. What a fascinating topic, because again, you would think that once one or two businesses try going down this road, and we see the backlash, we saw it from Bud Light, we're seeing it from Disney, where the last few movies that they've tried to release have been complete bombs. They've had to scrap some movies because of how woke that they've gone and people don't want it. You would think you would get the hint that maybe that's not what we want to do, but yet apparently some business hasn't learned their lesson yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing, and with Doritos is what you're referring to, I think it's actually far worse than, for instance, Bud Light. I'm not sure if you've taken a look at some of the statements that this Samantha Hudson, the individual, the transgender individual that Doritos had hired for their marketing, some of the statements she has said, but they're very hateful.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know if you ever read the Babylon Bee, but their tagline on it was, Bud Light has a new line of beer called We Do Not Endorse Pedophiles, Please Buy Us. because this Samantha Hudson personality, who is big in Spain and she's a singer, she had said some things like, I hate women who are victims of rape and who turn to self-help centers to overcome their trauma. I mean, think about that, Andy. That's so sick. That's so twisted. And she's also, you know, she's a self-proclaimed Marxist. None of that is surprising. But she's also, in quotes, for the abolition of and to destroy and annihilate the traditional monogamous nuclear family. And so this is who Doritos picked up as their as part of their marketing campaign. Yeah. And I think they're getting, rightfully so, a lot of blowback.
They rightfully so need to have a lot of blowback. And I want to talk some more about this individual. I hate to talk about this because I got to admit, Doritos, they're my soft spot. I've been going on the health kick. I'm trying to eat healthy and do stuff. Doritos are my weak point, and I have always loved this company and the fact that they are going down this road. And not just going down the road, but going down it on almost a militant level with the individual that they've hired here. This is wild to me, and I can't support this type of business anymore because this is, like you said, it's more than just sponsoring a transgender individual saying we support the community. This is hiring someone as part of their marketing department that has made some wildly outlandish, insensitive, and completely wrong statements throughout their entire life.
Yeah, I mean, she has condoned raping minors and things like that and doing some depraved acts to young girls. I do want to take the opportunity, Andy, because the whole transgender push, I want to highlight that gender dysphoria is a psychiatric disorder. And per the American Psychiatric Association, it's a very, very, very small percentage of people that actually suffer from this condition and this disorder. But there is all of this, the real trouble that I see on a national societal level is there is this push to condition the rest of us and normalize this disorder and almost have the rest of us emulate it. And you see that taking place in schools. And so, if, you know, setting aside this particular individual that she has this psychiatric disorder, you know, setting that aside, when you think about it on a more macro level, it's very, very concerning that this is being pushed towards our children.
Yeah, it really is. Do you think this is part of the ESG movement the government's trying to push? I mean, obviously right now they're trying to say if you want government grants, if you want to stay in business, if you're allowed to open bank accounts, if you're allowed to open loans, or, you know, can just operate as a business as a whole, then you have to start going down the road as an ESG and do the affirmative action and have a trans person on your marketing department or whatever the argument is. Are they doing this by choice, do you think, or are they doing it based on the fear of what the government's repercussions could be as a corporation?
So I haven't thought about it in the ESG context. I mean, I think that the ESG more being like emissions controls and things like that, because I'm in-house with a chemical company. But, you know, I this narrative is clearly coming from somewhere, and it tends to be, to my way of thinking, more of a globalist perspective. I would pinpoint more like the WHO is pushing this kind of stuff. But Andy, somebody needs to do a real deep dive and a study and figure out where this narrative is coming from, because it's not about the individuals themselves. The numbers are not there to support it. And the proponents of this, they claim, and they're going under the guise, that this is to prevent the teenage suicides. But the numbers are not there to support that narrative, right? It's such a small percentage of the population. And if you really want to get to teenage suicide, you look at the social media and TikToks, and you look at the violent video games and things that are pervasive in our society.
Yeah.
It's not this. So this is a false narrative, and then you got to wonder why, and why is it being pushed?
That's a great question. Why it's actually being pushed, you're right. I mean, like you said, it's a small population that actually is, that truly has the dysphoria, that is actually confused, that's actually questioning their identity. We've talked about that on the show just a few days ago. And then there's the larger population that just associate with the movement, the LGBT group club, the cool kids club, essentially, of I may not be, but I associate as, or I'm just doing it because it's a cool fad and I don't actually have the disease or whatever it is itself, but I actually just feel like I want to associate because that's the what the popular kids are doing. That part is growing a little bit, but it's still, even that population is still so small that I don't know what the purpose is with the marketing specifically towards them, because I can't imagine that's enough to continue to sustain a major corporation when it's supposed to be appealing to everybody and not get involved in this at all.
That's right. So the corporate involvement is real curious, but then the androgynization of us, right? So this transgender, we're all the same type movement. I mean, it does kind of start to have communistic undertones in that, you know, we're all the same. It's a stripping of your identity. And so you do kind of wonder, huh, does that have something to do with it? It's also an attack on God, because gender identity, or the ideology, is, it's basically saying that you're in the wrong body, so your creator made a mistake. So there's a lot of different elements to approach this from and try to understand who's pushing it and why. But it is, it's very troubling, and it's not about the individuals, I don't think. But this company, so Doritos, made a really poor choice, really super poor.
Yeah, this is a bad
don't
one
buy
for
their
sure.
chips for a while.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Conservatives are going to be much healthier. No chips, no beer. I mean, we're going to be eating veggies here in the corner.
You're taking all the fun away in life here, Mary. I can't deal with it. We're talking with MK Sweeney. She's author of the book, The Magi of Merriam, which you can find online, magimerriam.com. You can see the book on there. It is unfortunate because we can't watch Disney movies apparently anymore either with how bad this has gone. We got just about a minute before we have to take a break here, but do you think that this is the leading to the segregated economy in the U.S.? Conservatives buy from conservative business, Democrats buy from Democrat business, and that we're just going to have a separated, segregated economy in the U.S., do you think?
I mean, I certainly hope not. I think that this is all kind of a push for a cultural war here in the West. And I mean, if you have destabilization in the West, it benefits the rest of the world. I do want to take a second to plug my book, because the book has nothing to do with these woke issues. It's just written. It's an uplifting glorification of God book for children and adults. It's in Audible, and it's very, very fast-paced action and adventure series that's trying to focus on things beyond this woke narrative that I think is fleeting. Right? We all have this imprint on God on us, and we have much more in common than what we're led to believe. So I wrote this series as a, a narrative to try to bring us together and focus on glorification.
I love it. Can you stick over another segment? I want to talk about that when we come back. I want to talk about your book and actually how, the faith and religious views actually fall into this conversation. Can you stick over one more with us?
I'd love to.
Awesome. I will continue that when we come back. Where does faith actually fall into this conversation? And, of course, what's going on with the book as well. Lots more coming up for a Friday. Stay right here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Reason, common sense, rationale. That's just what we do here on this program. So great to have you with us here along for the ride. By the way, today is International Women's Day. So happy International Women's Day to you. Although, word of advice, I will not say that you say that to a Democrat, because then they might get very triggered and very upset because, well, they don't know what a woman is. So there is that. So happy International Women's Day. I am curious. I still haven't gotten a clear definitive answer from the other side. The actual feminists that are out there, like women power and men are not like women. I'm just strong. I can do what I want to with my life, which God bless you. That's the way it should be. But the militant women that like men, you're raping me just because you have male parts and that you looked at me and therefore you've already raped me and therefore you're the most horrible human being on the face of the earth. Those militants, those type of feminists, I'm curious where they stand on this whole transgender issue with men trying to identify as women, taking over the sports and breaking the records and getting all the stuff or whatever. I'm curious on where they stand there, because they haven't been very vocal about this issue. But happy International Women's Day if you know what a woman is in society. Man, what a world we live in. All right, we're hanging out with MK Sweeney. She is author of the book, The Magi of Merriam, The Boy Who Saved the Kingdom. You can find the book online at magiofmerriam.com. We're talking about this, the woke businesses, the segregation, unfortunately, of our economy with Doritos now having a transgender individual, a militant transgender individual, running a lot of their marketing. What is that going to mean? I love Doritos. That's my weak point. I do like 6-day fastings where I don't eat and I do my water and my tea and I do that stuff to be healthy. But my weak spot is Doritos, but I can't do it anymore. Just can't do it. It's unfortunate. MK, where does faith, where does religion or spirituality or personal belief in a higher power in some form, where does that fall in line here with this push for this transgenderism? Is it trying to confuse us? Is it focusing so much on the human physical form that we don't think about religion or anything of a higher being? Like, where does this all fall together?
So, Andy, I don't have a real clear answer for you. I think a lot of it is confusion. And then there is this kind of underlying attack on God. And so that's why you see the Pope coming out, for instance, last Friday and saying that this transgender push is one of the largest issues of society today. And he basically used, it's an attempt to cancel out differences. And the idea is, and why a believer in God would take an issue with this, is because of creation. God created us. If you believe in God, God created us. And so if you're on board with the transgender push and the gender ideology, then the thinking is that God put you in the wrong body. Well, God doesn't make mistakes. So that's where the attack on God lies. And, you know, it's a pretty direct attack.
Yeah, it is a direct attack. It really is. With your book, I know this doesn't have anything to do with the societal issues right now, but the book, you focus a lot on your faith-based, obviously. Talk again about the book and what this is about, because I can't wait to read it. I love these types of stories. Talk about this book here.
Oh, thanks so much. So The Magi, Miriam, The Boy Who Saved the Kingdom is a trilogy, and I pitched it to the publisher as Narnia meets The Hunger Games. So it is very much kind of in the vein of a traditional book, like a C.S. Lewis or something that was in circulation historically in America and just kind of, with the wokeism, has fallen out of place in contemporary times. And so my husband and I have three young children, and we read to them, and I pay pretty close attention to what they're up to. And I wasn't finding books that I felt that I was comfortable with the messaging, and that also just had decent writing and kind of like challenging themes. And so The Magi, Miriam, The Boy Who Saved the Kingdom, it's a glorification of God book. It's a triumph over insecurity book. And it's just written in a very like fast paced adventure to engage younger readers, accessible to younger readers. And then it does kind of have these theological layers that appeal to young adults and older and adults.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. So it's been fun. It's been received pretty well. There's also an Audible that is available that people really enjoy for long road trips with their kids and things like that, because the book itself is a 400-page book with some advanced vernacular. And the Audible is accessible to kids of any age. And it's read by this guy who has a very engaging voice. He sounds a lot like Johnny Depp, and he really makes the characters kind of come alive.
Sure.
But, you know, if somebody comes, the reader or the listener comes away, you know, feeling like, what would a relationship with God look like for me, or feeling a little bit more comfortable in their own skin, then I will have done a really good job with the book.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Check it out. MagiofMiriam.com. You can check out the book, The Magi of Miriam, The Boy Who Saved the Kingdom. MK, we could talk to you so much more. There's so much more to discuss, but we got to run. I appreciate it. Keep up this fight. I love it. I can't wait to read the book. Let's get you back on again real soon, my friend.
Thank you, Andy. Pleasure being with you.
You as well. Have a great weekend. There it is. So much more to cover. The wokeness continues. How do we battle it? We'll continue that conversation as the days go on. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. Have a great weekend. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.